Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda Ellsworth. I'm going to be your host today. We've got a great show in store for you. I have Tiffany Bloom with me today, and Tiffany wants every woman to recognize, embrace, and pursue the big dreams and beauty born inside of them. The author, blogger, speaker, teacher, podcast host, wife, and mother shares her personal stories of self-value and self-doubt, international adoption, entrepreneurship, marriage, heartbreak, motherhood, and more, with an ever-growing audience now numbering in the hundreds of thousands. In addition to reaching readers via her own blog, Tiffany shares her disarmingly perceptive, honest, and frequently funny writing on other popular outlets, including ScaryMommy.com, Deeply Rooted Magazine, and more. As co-host of the Why Though podcast, an in-demand speaker, Tiffany also leads key conversations about modern faith, contemporary women, culture, and so much more. She has penned two books, the acclaimed Bible study Never Alone, released in February of 2018, and the upcoming She Dreams, Live the Life You Were Created For, set to hit the bookstore's virtual and brick-and-mortar shelves in February of 2019. Tiffany lives in Tacoma, Washington, with her husband and two young sons. It's my pleasure to welcome Tiffany to our show today.
Hello, hello.
Hi. So, Tiffany, gosh, why don't you just fill in some of the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about yourself and, more importantly, your journey, like how you got to this place today?
Absolutely. My background was in church ministry for a decade. And so when I decided to step away from that and pursue things and be the boss and really be able to call the shots, I knew I wanted to impact people through the spoken and written word. And so having the opportunity to write for various outlets, and one other that I write for regularly is the Bible app, the most used app in the world, 268 million users, and I've loved writing content for them, as well as my own blog and travel, as you said, and newer podcaster. So loving that and filling my days with all good things: writing, speaking, traveling, podcasting.
Great. So tell us then just a little bit more about the business so that our listeners, you've written a couple of books. That's really awesome and no easy feat. So in some of the other services that you provide.
Absolutely. And yeah, no easy feat writing a few books. And even I did the math. I've written four, so 200,000 words in 18 months.
Wow.
And so I'm a little, yeah, thesaurus.com is a frequent site that I visit. But the business side of it, it's interesting because, you know, as a writer setting out, I never saw myself building a business, but it most certainly is as it grew from writing and blogging to speaking and really seeing how they're all cyclical and building on each other to really build maximum impact. So I would say one of the things that I've really come to enjoy about this business is just how much I get to work with people and how much that so much of what I do is to be helpful and useful and content creation that is really going to advance somebody's life and help them find their feet and help them really follow after what they believe they're called to do.
Great. So then how has owning your own business shaped your lifestyle today?
Well, what a great question. Both my husband and I, we started out on our own the same month, July of 2015. We both had full-time work. He was a teacher. I was a pastor full-time, and we both stepped away. So to start writing, and he started a real estate business. So it was interesting because we did it in tandem. But I would say that at the beginning, one of the practices I did that I would encourage anyone to do is write out the life as if it were now. Write out the life you want, the business I wanted. So I remember sitting down and writing out, I want to spend more time at home with my kids. I want to work from home. I want to be able to travel maybe 2 to 3 weekends a month. I want to be able to volunteer in my kids' class, but still run a efficient, connected, vulnerable, compassionate in sync team. So being able to do all that, and here I am a couple years later, and a few years later rather, and all of those things are happening. So I think at the beginning, thinking what lifestyle do I want and what business can really mirror that, and really being able to achieve that slowly. It wasn't overnight. I mean, I don't think there's anything as an overnight success, but really building a lifestyle that I can live with, one that I don't want to constantly take a vacation from, and one where I am not using up all my emotional equity just for work, but really having some goodies and emotional equity for my family and for my friends.
Great. So what do you feel are two of your greatest skill sets that have helped you succeed in having your own business?
I would say first is I'm a learner. StrengthsFinder 2.0, you know, you get your five strengths, and learning has, I really feel like I've been able to work smarter, not harder. Before I set out to do anything, I will do 100 hours of research on that topic before I started podcasting, before I started writing, before I got into ever having a piece of published work. I'd probably listen to no less than 250 hours of podcasts or read books on publishing, what it takes, what you can expect, what sets you apart. So I really feel like my commitment to learning, not that I mean, I'm all for, you know, you act on what you know at the time in any sort of capacity in leadership and business or entrepreneurship. But I think that there's so much strength in knowing how it's been done before and how you can meet a need that's not being met. So I would say that learning has really, I've been able to, and which I know can sound so simple, but it really has. By the time I, you know, was sitting in front of acquisitions editor, I knew what they were looking for. I knew what to expect. I knew what would help connect. I knew what I wanted to leave them with. I knew how to make the most of the moment. And then I would also say grit, just being willing to do the work, even if it's unglamorous, and willing to keep having a long obedience in the same direction and not ever seeing, you know, reaching for the exit door and strapping on a parachute, but thinking I'm in this, I'm for this. I can see in the long haul what I can achieve, what I can overcome, and how I can serve people. So I would say grit and definitely learning have really been great skill sets that have helped me succeed and get to where I am today.
Wonderful. So share with us then one of your greatest accomplishments and something that you've achieved that you're super proud of.
Oh, yeah. I would say the first time I had something read by over 100,000 people, I think that that was really impactful of thinking, okay, this is helpful. This is serving people. And I believe that I'm built to do this for the rest of my life. And that was when I wrote just a devotional study, a 21-day devotional study, and posted it online on the Bible app, and seeing just the impact from Kenya to Thailand to India to England to Italy to the United States, seeing women respond and find their place in the story of overcoming and pursuing their dreams and what they believe God had for them at all costs and against the odds.
Good. So in the opposite of that, then, what is one of your greatest challenges that you faced, and then how you worked through that?
Yeah, I think one of the greatest challenges, and I think this is for anyone in business or an entrepreneur, is just managing disappointment. I think, sadly, it's not this big thing that happens all the time, but sometimes it can be just this low-grade disappointment. Maybe things aren't where you thought they would be by now. Maybe you were hoping things would sell better. Maybe you're hoping you'd have more connections by now. So I think the biggest obstacle, I'm such an optimist at heart. I never think things are going to go wrong ever. And so when they do, you know, whether it be a failed adoption or, you know, rejected manuscripts, you really have to go back and think, okay, this is part of growth, and this disappointment, what can I do from this? What can I learn from this? What's the goodness and the gift in it for me that is inaccessible by victory? And then be able to take that, what I can learn, and really move forward and temper my expectations and really go back and do the work of what it would take to see what I want to see come true. So I would say, yeah, disappointment. I think that it finds us all, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've been doing whatever we've been doing. Disappointment seems to always find us. And I think the bigger we get, you know, whether it be a CEO or an author who's got a larger following, whatever it may be, I think that the disappointments only get greater. You'd think they'd get smaller the more successful you are, but disappointment comes in all shapes and sizes. And so I think that it really has been a challenge, a constant challenge to overcome, but one that is making me stronger in the end and makes all of us stronger.
I think you're right. I think that people, they look at successful people and they just think, oh, they've got it made, or, oh, but
totally.
And they sometimes can look at their own situation or life and then in that comparison space, kind of lose sight of what it is they really want. Like, why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they choosing what they're choosing? Like, what's success look like for them versus what success looks like for someone else? I think that's really important to stay true to. It's easy for us to look at someone and say, oh gosh, you know, look at their business. But is that what you really want? Is that right, the lifestyle that you want? I remember when I first started speaking, I made my goal to speak 8 speaking engagements a month. And that's what I wanted. That was my goal. And that was a pretty lofty goal when I had 0. So it was like, okay. And like our second month, I had 4. My next month, I had 6. And then, so within 3 months, we had ramped it up to where I was doing pretty consistently between 6 and 8 a month. But there was a lady that came along and she was in my same space and fairly new to the game. And she was doing like 20.
Whoa.
And I know, and I remember going, how's she doing 20? So then I got really wrapped up in the, she was doing 20, and why wasn't I doing 20? And why didn't I have that? And it took me like probably a week of carrying on like this and saying it to a few of my, you know, team members and going, you know, I just don't get it. And then they're finally like, well, Belinda, the goal that we've got everywhere is 8. You've met your goal, you're exceeding your goal, and you're rocking your goal. You've got audiences of at least, because I'd also said, I want to speak to at least 100 people or more. And so she said, you know, like we knew that a lot of the attendance for those 20 was like 25. And she said, maybe her goal is different than yours. And do you really want to be on the road 20 times a month away from your family? Is that what you really want? I'm like, no. It isn't. I am hitting exactly what I wanted. I am hitting my goals. But sometimes it's really easy for us to forget. And that's why goals are important to write down, because we look on the outside in at somebody else's situation. And then we start to think, oh, gosh, why are they better than me? And in fact, and then to your point, we don't see those people's challenges either. We right. don't see what's behind the curtain, if you will. And I think it's always really important to remember that challenges come in big and small, and successes come that way too. And it's really important to stay focused on what you want to get out of what you're putting in.
Oh, so well said. I love that example. And also, you know, in anybody's field, you can look at people to the left and to the right who are so bright and shiny and think, I want to do that. I want to have that. But just as you said, we have no idea the cost for them to be doing that. And do we even want to pay it in the first place? That is such a good reminder. We all need to hear that.
Oh, thanks. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
I love that question. I think working from my happy place means, I'm going to be very practical and philosophical, if you don't mind. I think practically, working from my happy place, my golden hours where I can really create, because so much of what I do is content creation, which is not busy work. It is extremely emotionally and, you know, creatively draining, but I really do well between the hours of 10 to 1. So one of the ways that I can work from my happy place is ensure that I don't schedule anything from 10 to 1. I know it's, again, very practical, but that's when I know I can create the best. At night, I'm shot. I need to be answering emails and paying invoices. I can't be trying to write the next bestseller at 9 p.m. It's just not going to happen. So I would say working in the morning is working from my happy place. Ensuring that I have, as much as I'm going to work that day, I think in the back of my mind, knowing how much time I'm going to spend with my family in that day, I think I can work from such a happy place, knowing that it is in harmony with how much time. I don't even want to say the word balance because it can feel so defined by each of our own expectations. But I think having some harmony, knowing that I'm able to switch gears and spend some good time as mama since I've got such little ones, 7 and 4. So I'm, it's a physical game, man. They're little boys. I am a busy girl. So
I bet
knowing that I have time for them, I think that even is enables me to work from such a happy, fulfilled, vibrant place. I think also, when I've connected with my team, whether it's my assistant or publicity team or, you know, editor, my marketing director, whoever it is, when we're all in sync, I can work from a happy place because we're all firing on all cylinders. Everybody knows what needs to be done. Everybody feels equipped to do what their role requires. So I would say, yeah, knowing I have time for my family, working in those more, you know, that 10 to 1 hours. And not, you know, I'm such a, I don't schedule a thing between those hours. So I would say, yeah, that enables me to really, and you know what, let's not even kid, a nice big breakfast before that enables me to work from a happy place so I'm not distracted.
It makes a huge difference. I didn't have a good breakfast yesterday or today. I just jumped right in, and I'm a eat breakfast every morning girl, and it's something that I do before I start my day, and I'm not starving in the middle of the day, or I don't get a headache in the middle, like in that mid, you know, before lunchtime rolls around. And these last 2 days, I've had a headache both days. And it's because I just started my day out really not feeding my body, you know, like with healthy. And I think that sometimes we don't take the time, and it costs us more in the end. And if you would just take the time to really, I've tried to do that too, but I wrote down, I put a star beside you saying that, because I think my best hours are from 10 to 1 as well. And so I end up scheduling people in and doing crazy things. And then that eats up that best part of your day. And then you find you've got an hour or two, like at 3 o'clock is the time of the day where I need to take a little like breather and drink a coffee. You know what I mean? And so when that just ends up being my free hour, I waste it. It's like wasted versus you. And you could also get so much done when you really hone in on the time where you're your best. So I always like to point out really great gold nuggets, because sometimes people are listening to a podcast and they're, you know, getting ready for work or driving down the road or walking on a treadmill or who knows what, because we all multitask so much. But that is such a gold nugget of really discovering within yourself what is your best time frame that you're going to be at your best. And then make sure you're using that for the things that are going to be the most productive, or maybe be the things that are going to be income producing. And we don't always do that. We sort of look at our tasks in a day, but there are certainly tasks that are, you know, more about networking or more about doing whatever. But there are certain tasks that are income producing that we need to give it those best hours, our best time. So I loved that you said that. And I just wanted to point that out to our listeners in case they're just not paying attention. So what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
I think learn from the best. I think find people out there who are killing it. They don't have to be in your field per se, but if you see something in them that you want to grow in, whether it be a character trait, whether it be a strength, and perhaps a skill, I think really sit at their feet. And you can do that by, you know, if they have a book, reading their books, if they have some sort of coaching system, signing up for that. I think really investing in yourself and knowing you don't know what you don't know. And so finding out who does know, sit at their feet and learn from the best. I remember when this was years ago, I was pitching to write to the paper to have my own column at the paper. And about once a year, once every 2 years, they would take submissions. And so I thought, who do I know who's writing for a paper? Paper articles are short, but they really have a certain reader in mind. Like, who do I know? So I had a friend, her mom wrote for the Seattle Times. And so I connected with her, like, what advice can you give me? How can I maximize this opportunity? And although I didn't get the opportunity, I came in, they took three new columnists, and I was number four, but it was the nicest rejection letter. I'll tell you what, Belinda, it was very nice. However, I thought to myself, okay, if I'm new at this and I want to succeed, who is killing it and how can I soak up some of their goodness and sit at their feet?
That is great. And then did that help?
Oh, absolutely. And she was key. That same gal was key in helping me draft a book proposal and really pushing me to get in front of acquisitions editors rather than pitch from afar. So she was an invaluable resource.
That is awesome. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on right now? And then you can close with telling our listeners how they can find you.
Oh, yeah. Some new and exciting things that are going on, as you already mentioned, coming up in February 2019. She Dreams, Live the Life You Were Created For. I am so excited because I'm 32. And I am surrounded by a lot of mamas with littles who feel at the mere talk of dreams, they tear up. And it's such a tender topic. And then at the same time, I have the privilege of speaking to a lot of women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And again, the same topic of dreams really is, it's a really tender topic. And so many feel like they had to give up their dreams to make ends meet or to take care of kids or to really have a supportive role in their husband's career. And I think all of that is necessary. I do. I absolutely do. But I also believe that each and every one of us has such a great capacity, and perhaps we're living below our privilege of what we are capable of and what we would be so fulfilled to do. And I'm a better leader, speaker, podcaster, writer, author, blogger. I am better at all that when I am in my zone chasing after what I know is in front of me, God-given dream, if you will, to chase after. So really, I'm excited to encourage women and invite them in to be the hero of their own story and walk it out with grace and grit and not apologize or feel that it's self-indulgent to chase after their dreams.
That's great. And then how can they find you?
Yes. On Instagram, I'm at Tiffany Bloom, Twitter at Tiffany Bloom. And on Facebook, I am Tiffany A. Bloom, and my site, Tiffany Bloom, BLUHM.com.
That is wonderful. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today and being part of our show, Work From Your Happy Place. And I wish you much continued success, and I'll be excited to get your book when it's released.
Thank you, Belinda. Bless you.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.